Wasabi wallet, unfairly private.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to this special weekend edition of Why Are We Bullish? We're back. I am traveling. I am abroad. I'm currently in Greece. I'm going to be here through all of August and the beginning of September. And I do have a meetup happening in Athens on September 6th. So if you're in the area, be sure to hit that up. I'm very, very excited to meet some Greek Bitcoiners. So if you're in the area, again, please come on down. And I'll have more details about that coming soon. But if you're part of the meetup there, then you might already know about it. We have a killer panel going on today. Very excited to have them. It's a meme-tacular extravaganza. You'll recognize some of these dudes or their avatars, depending on who they are, from Bitcoin Twitter. And there's definitely a theme going on with the show. I'm very excited to have all these guys. Now, as always, please smash that like button, give this a share. Let's get this show rolling for another excellent edition of Why Are We Bullish? Let's go.
Hodl the Bitcoin.
Before we dive in, of course, shout out to sponsors of the show, Lend.io. You can use your Bitcoin here for a variety of different services. Of course, if you're in a pinch and you need to get your hands on dollars, but you don't want to sell your Bitcoin because you're worried about having to buy back and at a higher price, and you know that that is indeed a taxable event, you can use their Bitcoin back loans here. You deposit Bitcoin, you get dollars to your bank account within 24 hours. When you pay back those dollars, you get back the same amount of sats, which of course is the important number. They do indeed also have Bitcoin and USDC savings accounts with interest rates of up to 8.5% annually paid monthly, and their B2X offering if you're feeling mega bullish. Links are down below. If you click that link and opt to get a loan, they'll give you $25 for free into your savings. If you're stacking sats in Canada, super easy way to do so is bitbuy.ca. They have a very easy to use web interface, a dedicated app that you can have on your phone on the go. And hey, special deal, if you buy your first $250 with them, they'll give you $20 for free. So be sure to check them out. Now, I do live on Bitcoin. One of the things that makes that super easy for me is BitRefill. You can purchase just about any gift card you can imagine there. So, so easy. You can pay on-chain or you can pay with Lightning Network, which I regularly use. And you stack sats while you shop, you get sats back with every purchase. So be sure to check them out. Of course, there's the Keystone. I back up and use this so often. It is so easy to go on the fly. I use it with Blue Wallet a lot, but it works with things like Sparrow and Spectre. It's super awesome. Formerly known as the Kobo Vault, with some excellent improvements. Be sure to check them out. Links are down below. And I do have a full tutorial as well. Now, obviously, if you're backing up any Bitcoin wallet, you want to be super careful in doing so. And one thing that gives you peace of mind is getting that backup on steel. Paper doesn't quite cut it because that opens you up to fire damage, water damage, or, you know, God forbid somebody throws out the damn thing because they don't realize what it is. So be sure to back your shit up on a Bitfoddle over at Privacy Pros. With that, let's bring in our epic panel. Here we go. All right. Here we are. Welcome, everybody. We've got a fucking killer panel today. It's going to be, I'm told it's going to be unruly. I'm going to go down the line and let these gents introduce themselves. Fuck you, Greg. Let's start with you. Let people know who you are, what you do.
Hi there. My name is Greg. I go on the handle GregZaj1 on Twitter. I am one of the three chief meme officers at Strike, and my daily profession is shitposting.
That's a great job. I'm very happy that you exist and that profession exists, and clearly changed the world. So happy to have you, man. let's pass it to Marcus. Let people know who you are, what you do.
Yeah, hello everybody. My name is Plan Marcus. I live in the Netherlands. Right now I'm on vacation and holiday by my parents here on this beautiful tropical island of St. Martin. Haven't spent a sat to be here, just so the guys know I'm still stacking hard. yeah, what do? I should post along with these legends over here, and I kind of just tag along, make a meme now and then, and do a little TA here and there. Just always up, number goes up forever, Laura. That's it.
Beautiful. Glad to have you, man. Glad to. There seems to be a theme coming along with this panel. Let's see if it continues. Sean, let people know who you are, what you do.
Yeah, my name is Sean Harris. How's it going? I'm a professional basketball player, and I actually started playing in Colombia on the border of Venezuela. And then I have played a lot in Europe, played kind of all over. So I just got back from Spain a couple months ago, and in the Canary Islands, just those are Spanish islands off the coast of Africa. And looking forward to the next season. Not sure where I'll be playing, but yeah, got into Bitcoin. Somehow Greg Zadge found me on Twitter, or I found him, and he slid in my DMs, and I've been making memes and hanging out with these guys for a while when I'm not practicing. So it's been a blast. And I think Bitcoin's going to wherever it needs to go to.
I've got a question. How many unsolicited dick pics were in those DMs when Greg slid in?
That was all of the pics. That was all the DMs.
There's no actual typing.
There's nothing else. Just... Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. That's about, sounds about right. I've got the
this
pics.
Is libel and I won't have it. It's bullshit.
And we've got another down below. Let's see if he can come out of the panel that he's currently in. Yellow, are you there?
Yeah, sorry, I'm in a meeting. Let me come a little bit closer. So my name is Yellow. I'm a Bitcoiner from I entered the space 2013. I traded very unsuccessfully, and now for like a lot of years I've been memeing. I found those guys. I meme for Strike 2 and a lot of seed posting and I guess trolling, call it what you want.
That's awesome. I've got to say here that, you know, I've had Gigi on with his like crazy green screen background, but I think Yellow may have topped him here with this beautiful presentation, like the moving mouth and the eyes and it. Like,
it's actually, I'll tell you a secret. It's actually in beta, so it's gonna get better.
This is already going so well. So, gentlemen, it is 9 p.m. for me here. I am in Greece. I'm sipping on a beer, but we've changed times of the show and everything to kind of make it work for people all over the place. So I am thankful for you guys to join me on a Saturday here in the afternoon. And this is Why Are We Bullish? Super easy premise. Basically, one of us drops a reason why we're feeling bullish. We all riff on that reason together, and then we rotate to the next person. So I am going to get us started off here. And I'm just going to share something here first from my screen. You guys see my screen here?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So my reason for being bullish, it centers around a lot of the, everybody's kind of freaking out about these potential regulations that are coming down. And there's the infrastructure bill, and they crammed some bullshit in about cryptocurrency in general. But I think what we're seeing from this, and again, we're still kind of seeing what develops here, but I think what we're going to see from this is that all of the shit that's actually not decentralized is going to get their asses handed to them. And the bad wording that we're seeing in this bill that could pertain to Bitcoin, I think by and large will be unenforceable. Yes, if you're a company and you're dealing with Bitcoin, yeah, you're probably gonna have to deal with some shit regulations. And to be clear, I'm not big on the regulations. I think that it's better off if we're not babysat, so that people kind of learn to actually make sound decisions with their money. So that they're not babysat. When you are babysat, you just expect everything to be taken care of for you. But I think that what we're seeing here, like this example here from the SEC, which is hilarious that they're tweeting about this, but they tweeted that they went off after DeFi, which begs the question, what part of this is decentralized? But they charged two men and their Cayman Island company for raising $30 million through fraudulent offerings using smart contracts and so-called, I love that they said, and so-called decentralized finance technology. I love that they are basically calling it out, saying that it's clearly not decentralized in any way if they can just clamp down on it like that. Now, regarding the stuff that's going through right now in this infrastructure bill, you have Jack Dorsey tweeting about it, talking about an amendment going through, but they're worried that the wording would put unworkable requirements on Bitcoin node runners, developers, and miners. And here's the thing about that. I see this having about as much effect as the initial file sharing in and around things like, yes, Napster got shut down because it had centralized servers you could attack. As soon as torrents became a thing that everybody was using, how do you might try and make examples of a few people, but I know just about everybody that wants an episode of something that they can't easily just stream, they can get it. And there's not really much you can do to stop that. So I see it as kind of the same thing. Yes, I again hate the regulation, but I think that Bitcoin just kind of works its way through this. I think it's going to be in the end a nothing burger, and it's going to prove how actually decentralized Bitcoin is. When it comes to running a Bitcoin node, when it comes to miners, I think if it actually goes after miners, you're going to see more off-grid mining. And then it just makes it way more of a pain in the ass to try and clamp down on, which is great. Or you see more at-home mining. There was even a new article from Bitcoin Magazine, how to mine at home. And they're clearly trying to pick up on all this stuff. I know a friend that is literally doing an off-grid mining farm and having like a bison farm nearby as well. They're working on putting that together, but they're making their own little off the grid citadel out of this. And it's, I think even if it ends up being bad regulation, it pushes Bitcoin to become anti-fragile to it. So my reasoning here is that whatever comes down the pipe, Bitcoin will prevail. It may be a pain in the ass in the short term, but I think we come out just fine. So I'm going to open it up to you guys, get your thoughts on anything that I've just said, anything that you have thoughts on infrastructure bill, just general regulation around Bitcoin, what you think is going to come of it. So feel free to jump in, whoever wants to say something here.
Sure, I'll jump in. I would say, because I have a lot of, unfortunately, friends that are still shitcoining, I would say that we're not glad about the regulation thing, right? We're not glad that the government and any government has the power to say and do whatever they want to, whatever people want to do with their money. And for me, it's stupid what they're doing, but they have the option to do it, right? So we're glad that Bitcoin is so decentralized and censorship resistant that they cannot do anything to it in the end, right? They can overregulate it. It's going to affect monetarily for a little bit the price thing, right? But in the end, like, they cannot do anything about it. Like, and that's why we don't care about it in the end. Like, we don't care, right?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting too, because, you know, you think about these DeFi projects and they're so susceptible, they're in their name, it's already a lie. They're not decentralized. And so it's really cool to see how Bitcoin can handle these attacks, and it's handled these attacks for years, and it only gets stronger. And it's just like water. It just moves to the least resistance. Wherever there's less resistance, it'll move to. and it you can't kill it. So it'll just flow to wherever there's the least amount of regulation, where it's best for Bitcoiners, where it's best for humanity. And that's, you know, that's the difference between Bitcoin and any of these altcoins that claim that they're decentralized in their own name, and they're not. And so I think that's what's really cool, and the difference between Bitcoin and anything else that's out there.
How about Greg, Marcus, any thoughts on what you're feeling around the regulations that are coming down the pipe? Are you worried at all? Are you freaking out, or is it like, whatever happens?
Well, if I can jump in there, I mean, here in the Netherlands, well, actually I'm in the Caribbean now, but in the Netherlands, we've been harassed sort of, so to speak, by the Dutch Central Bank and their extra regulations they've been putting on. They've always gone further and beyond than the European law has come forward with so far. Sorry about my bad English, by the way. But one of the examples is that if I have an account on my exchange and I want to withdraw my Bitcoin to my cold storage, the exchange actually asks me to take a picture that I show them a picture with my passport that I'm holding next to my public key to prove them that's my address. Of course, after I send it there, I can just do whatever, and I could just send it to another public address, and or maybe do like a coin join or whatever. But this is actually a law in Holland right now. So all Dutch persons. So we're kind of used to like all these weird regulations that don't make any sense, right? I mean, in the end, they can't do anything to control Bitcoin or to stop Bitcoin or to stop us from using Bitcoin or to stop us from sending Bitcoin to one another and transacting it. But they just want to try and get control, try to make the on and off ramps more complex. So we knew this was coming. I think one of the positive things is that right now this infrastructure bill is just putting Bitcoin front and center on what the issue is, and it's gonna it's gonna enlighten a lot of people about how hard this thing is to stop, and it's actually gonna show the merits and the strong points of Bitcoin to a lot of people, to lawmakers, to politicians, to people reading up on this stuff. So in the end, it's just like, you know, they want to sneak this in there, because I mean, this bill was what, like 3,000 pages, and they snuck it into an infrastructure bill. Come on, you know? It's like, it's a joke, and they try to, you know, sneak one by us and pass all these laws and make it difficult. And what they end up getting is that everybody's talking about it now. It's just going to bring Bitcoin forward into the spotlight, and I think it's, in the end, you know, it's just going to moon. Hey, everybody's going to realize.
Marcus. Sure, go ahead. You know, you think that's bad that they made you take a picture with your passport, but when I had to take my money off of Coinbase, they made me take a picture with a spoon on my head and a Nazar bikini. So
I had Brian Armstrong also slip into my DMs, but he was asking for dick pics for clarification. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
a walking dick pic?
It's true. It's true.
As long as you prep it.
Yeah. That's fucking insane about the public key deal there. Like, that's, I mean, at that point, you should probably just use BISC or something like that to get Bitcoin, because that's so obtrusive that it's,
you know, yeah. Honestly, you know, like, we already had to do the KYC on exchange, right? So, I mean, if the Dutch government asked the exchange for my records, they can already see to what address I withdrew the Bitcoin, right? So it's, does it really change anything? They already have that on record anyway. They just don't know if it was really my public key I was sending to it, because I guess I can send Bitcoin from an exchange to you as a friend or to somebody else. And in this way, they just want to know. But you have to whitelist an address by showing your passport with that thing.
So are they, okay, are they asking you to take a picture of your passport with just like the receiving address beside it, or like an actual public key?
Correct.
Like just the address?
Yeah, sorry, just the address. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I guess.
And then I took the picture of the address, and then they told me, no, this picture is not good enough because we can't see what software you're using. So they actually wanted to see like what kind of hardware wallet I was using, or So I also had to include that in the shot. Yeah.
Whatever
it's Mark crazy.
Is saying right now, it's like a problem and like a effect, and like the power that exchange is coming from the centralized aspect of it, right? So imagine like you're investing in like a project that in some cases are so centralized, like the exchange. So when we move to a decentralized like ecosystem, you don't have that problem because they don't have that control. We have to say that for the guys in the chat that I see. Hey guys, what's up?
Yo, yo, the chat. I love it. I love it. I'm super fucking excited about everything I'm seeing recently. We've got two state attacks in as many months, right? So China shuts down mining, right? And in the face of everybody in front page news, you got to see all that hash power come offline, right? Oh no, Bitcoin's gonna die. And just slowly but surely, it's finding its way back online, back on the grid. You see the hash rate ticking back up. Fuck you, money.
Right? I like this is number two. Is this yellow is literally two. Doing Z's as Greg talks?
I wouldn't be surprised. That's normal. I can't see him right now.
That's
sorry, fantastic. Sorry, guys. Sorry, it was sorry.
Yeah, state awesome. Attack number two, man. Bitcoin doesn't give a shit. This whole thing, Greg Foss had the best take I've seen on this, right? So he came out and he said, I think it was today or yesterday, basically, you know, Wall Street helped write this provision. And they're in a position where either, you know, their interests are aligned with Bitcoin. It's another asset that they can take on board, they can custody, they can sell to their clients, whereas DeFi and proof of stake systems are actually a challenge to their existence. And if in one set piece of regulation, they can just go ahead and shut down all these shitcoins and kill their competition, fantastic for them. And fantastic for us. I mean, where do you think all that value flows? It's going to flow right back into Bitcoin, number go up. Mm-hmm. Can't lose.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to think like, because Bitcoin really takes down the central bank. And so if banks want to get a part of it, they really want to attack any of these little DeFi projects that are going on. And I mean, obviously I self-custody, but who knows what role a bank could play in the future if they wanted to make it seem like it's safer to custody your Bitcoin with a bank. You know, that's like that would be the marketing ploy if I'm a bank that I would try to use. It's going to be safer to custody your Bitcoin with us. You're going to get some type of FDIC insurance with your Bitcoin at our bank that you won't get anywhere else. You know, that would be the marketing ploy if you're a bank. But if, you know, if you want to take something down, you got to take down those DeFi projects if you're these banks, but they're going to wipe away anyway. So it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, yeah, you're right. It's competition for them that if it were truly decentralized, then they'd be fucked anyways. But because it's not, they can just be like, oh, well, you know, we survived this long creating regulatory moats around ourselves. Let's just use those. And they are. And it's working because it's not decentralized. So like that, and Bitcoin is the only thing that you're seeing these wordings and these provisions that could apply to certain aspects of Bitcoin, but they're literally unenforceable. What, they're going to go knock on everybody's door and see if you're running Core? Are you fucking kidding me? They're going to go check. Every time you go buy a Raspberry Pi,
So Ben, did you get a chance to actually read some of these wordings? Because I haven't read the bill. I'm just going off of what I'm seeing on Twitter. But do we know some of the things they're talking about, what they want to do?
Yeah, so it's mostly in the wording of, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but there's a single sentence in there where they're talking about you need to do reporting if you're facilitating a transaction for another person. And if they were to change literally the two words another person to a client, then it would just pertain to exchanges and stuff like that, which are, I believe, what they state that they're going after. But because they say another person, it means that potentially in a court somebody could perceive that as meaning, well, you're a node operator, and a node is come like right. Is like relayed,
right.
is relayed through your node, or it could be a miner who sees the transaction and actually adds it to the blockchain, or it could be a Lightning node where you lock up funds, but there are transactions that are being relayed through your node. So because of that imprecise wording, people are very worried that they could come after those types of people. But I just don't think that they could easily enforce it. Somebody may try. And I mean, if it's there, they're going to try. But I think that in the end, like, they'll try to make a few examples, and then it's going to be like torrents. If you want to use it, it's just going to be there.
But that's not all there is to it too. I mean, a portion of this is a forward thinking talking point for some of these politicians, right? So they're talking about it's in there so they can help generate tax revenue to pay for the infrastructure bill, which we all know is just horseshit, right? How much tax can they really collect?
Did you see the numbers?
No, what
did
you see
the number? No, the numbers, they were like, oh, we're gonna raise, and I think it was shy of $30 billion for the year. And they're literally so
like they weren't just gonna print it anyway.
The US
they print $30 billion a day.
No, 120 in the repo. The repo market. Yeah.
And the crazy thing, okay, so right now the U.S. in actual just regular debt, it's like $28 trillion, but in an outstanding liabilities like Medicaid and pensions and stuff like that, it's $120+ trillion. So like basically $150 trillion worth of debt with a $3 trillion yearly deficit. And they're saying that this infrastructure bill is to drum up funding. It's like they literally did nothing. It's like they found a nickel on the street and they're like, fuck yeah, paid off the house. Like, what are they talking about?
Right. It's a talking point. They're going to go on there. Well, we generated $30 billion of revenue, and that's a big number.
Yeah. Well, it's because numbers don't mean anything anymore. When they were printing hundreds of billions in 2008, where everybody's like, holy shit, that's a big number. Now they're like
$750 billion.
Yeah.
They picked it because it sounded large and it wasn't a trillion.
Yeah. And now they're saying trillions, and you're just kind of used to it. If it's not like a $6 trillion signing, then you're like, wow, you know. They've done that much in the past year, so
it seems like they just come up with these arguments and they never have to explain why these arguments. You know, it's just like it's an argument that nobody questions. Just like I forgot her name, but she was there talking about, you know, it's bad for the environment, so we should shut it down. You know, and
100%. Well, okay, so I think we kind of all agree here. Basically, this will nip anything in the butt that is not decentralized, and what remains is Bitcoin. And it may be a pain in the ass for a little while, but Bitcoin continues to persist, and it will route around it as it always has. So, hey, we'll see what happens, but let's keep it rolling. Let's move on to our next reason for being bullish. So I'm going to, since we're wearing the same shirt, I'm going to pass it to Greg. Dude, please do let me know what has you feeling bullish this week.
All right. So my background is on purpose, right? Space, final frontier for all my nerd friends out here. All right. So I'm bullish because, and I haven't heard this from anybody outside of Jeff Booth, I'm bullish because Bitcoin, I'm pretty sure, solves the Fermi paradox. Are you familiar with the Fermi paradox?
I love that you're talking about this. Yes.
All right.
Explain it for us noobs who don't know.
All right. So anybody who doesn't know what the Fermi paradox is, so the general problem in finding extraterrestrial life, right? So the premise is, if given a general set of conditions, life arose once, it should be able to arise anywhere else given the same set of conditions. The universe is a big fucking place. There's a lot of places out there that have the same similar conditions that Earth has had, so life should have arisen many, 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 many times. The problem is, we don't see it. That's the Fermi paradox. And one of the reasons, the name we've given to a possible reason for the fact that we don't see other alien civilizations is because there's some sort of great filter, right? So there's some problem or catastrophe or issue that an intelligent species has to work through. And most, if not all of them, don't. So they hit this great filter event, problem, issue, and it kills the species. So the reason I'm bullish on Bitcoin solving the Fermi paradox is I think it fixes the great filter event, if not one of the great filter events. And what I mean by that is when you have a fiat economic system, you are incentivized towards war, global war, nuclear war. It misaligns incentives of a civilization in relation to its place on the planet and in the universe, whereas something like Bitcoin realigns those financial incentives in line with the laws of thermodynamics, which should make economic calculation easier into the future and keep us away from tail risks like great filter events like a World War III or nuclear holocaust. So I think Bitcoin solves for the great filter and solves for the Fermi paradox.
I love this topic. I kind of have gone down this rabbit hole before too. And I think that for a society, I think it could be correct in that when you have a fiat standard, you have a perversion of power where people are able to effectively relocate wealth wherever they see fit. And even if they are moving in a way that is altruistic and they believe they're doing the right things, the amount of data that they're trying to say that they can process and do better than a fully free market, making all of those individual decisions, and then the species as a whole moves in a certain direction because of the incentives that are actually there versus the incentives that are created by somebody saying, we're going to extract human time from everybody and reallocate it to this purpose. It inevitably puts us on a path that is less than less than optimum, and so we don't achieve the things that we should be achieving in the amount of time that we need to achieve them before something happens to the species. And I love the space background that you're going with, because when you think about all of the perversions that have happened since we went off a gold standard, and you can argue when that actually happened, I think well before 71, because it was that people figured out that we had already fucked the gold standard and right. wanted their gold right. back. It wasn't like it just everybody's like, oh, we want gold, and then Nixon decided
it was like 3 years after Bretton Woods that we started fucking with the money multiplier. It's like, yeah. It wasn't long.
yeah but yeah, like, it's so, you know, it think of when you actually have true incentives and you don't have let's make some trinkety bullshit to get as much money right now as we can, and then just like keep pumping out the trash. Let's make things purposely obsolete so that we can get the next product out and the next product, because people are always wanting to spend their money.
Or the more insidious stuff, where as you inflate, you know, the people who produce goods and services are left with the choice of my inputs still cost the same, but I can either charge more for the same product or charge the same number and just dilute the effectiveness of my product and put shit ingredients in. I won't give this person as much face-to-face time on the service that I'm providing.
Yeah. Shrinkflation, all that.
But I think going back to what you're saying, Greg, I think it's true. Like with fiat money, you know, you can print infinitely. And so, you know, with war, you have to have enough money for war. And so if you can print an infinite amount of money, then you can basically have war forever until your supplies run out. And so I think that's what's different with Bitcoin is you can't just press the money printer, but with the proof of work, you know, there has to be something behind it that actually ties it into reality. And I think that's what's great about Bitcoin is that war can just go on forever. You can have this endless war. Like we're having an endless war right now in the Middle East. And so, you know, you have these things that go on. And if generations of people, you know, you look at, there are other wars in the Middle East that have gone on for, you know, decades or centuries, and they just don't end. And so that's the question is, like, if a war does go on forever, then maybe people are just so bloodthirsty that they just want to exterminate the other, you know, whoever they're fighting against, and then it could just end in calamity of the species. So that's pretty good. I never thought about that before.
Love it. Marcus, Yellow, any thoughts? Is Greg on point? Is he way off point and a total idiot? What do you think?
Fuck you.
he's definitely an idiot, that's for sure.
Yep.
No, I kind of agree with what Chris said. It's a nice sentiment to think that in the future we're gonna evolve to that level as a civilization, and it's actually one of the core things that we're fighting for, right? So the old corrupt system to die off, and I don't know. Fiat burning nose until the Fed knows. Who knows, right? No, I agree with Greg. No, and it's such a positive, wholesome like feeling, right? To want to see that. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. How about you, Marcus? What do you feel about this?
Wow, yeah, it's way out there, of course, and I can't but agree, of course, and I think about it a lot. Not the paradox. I haven't actually heard of the paradox before, so I can't say I've heard of that. But yeah, the idea of having a pure and finite accounting system again, instead of like, you know, that measurement stick that's always moving. And how that will change the world. It keeps amazing me that, you know, something so simple is all its simplicity. Finally, we have something that's absolutely scarce and measurable and provable, and that it will just change all the incentives out there. And yeah, I don't know. It's pretty way out there. So yeah, I don't know if I can add any more valuable insights.
We're a bunch of hippies.
It brings... economic.
I was sure Yellow was just going to say potato or something.
We'll get there. I'm sure we'll be here for a little bit. There's plenty of time for me to make potato comments.
You know, there it kind of reminds me. You know, we were talking about like DeFi earlier. You know, and Bitcoin in its simplicity. Like a long time ago, I actually studied aerospace engineering for about 2.5 years before I dropped out. But I had this professor, you know, who was telling us this story about going into space and the space race between the Russians and Americans. And, you know, the Americans, they had like a lot more budget and a lot more people working on it. So, and, you know, sometimes in organizations, you know, then... you would think that everybody is aligned with the goals and the aims of an organization. That's not always the case. I've also learned this in marketing, by the way, but let me just stick on point. It's like, so there's this budget. Everybody who gets a budget from somebody higher up, they just care about their budget. They don't really necessarily care if how effective things are or how profitable a company is. No, it's just, I get this budget, you know, that's my responsibility, and I can brag about it to my friends. So I just want my budget to keep getting bigger. But what happened is that, you know, they had to come up with a solution for the fact that there's no gravity in space where Greg is sitting there. And, you know, a regular pen wouldn't work because if you try writing upside down with a pen, you know, like the pen flows away from the point, so it just stops writing. And in space, you have that issue as well. So the Americans came up with like this project that they came up with, a space pen. And in the end, I don't know the exact numbers. I'm sure somebody can Google it and fact check it for me. But they came up with a space pen, which was like this highly, highly over-engineered product, you know, with like pressurized systems. And it couldn't be too highly pressurized because the ink would flow out at the end. And in the end, they came up with this perfect pen that would actually write zero gravity in space under different conditions. And the pen was like, I don't know, I'm just making up a number right now, but let's say it was like $300,000 per pen or whatever. What did Russians do? They had a limited budget. They just went up with a pencil. Yeah. And to me, this is just like, you know, you've got a simple problem.
Bullshit.
To me, what?
Bullshit. Yeah,
Russian propaganda over here, Marcus.
Russian propaganda, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
You know why you can't go in space?
I'm in a room full of Americans here.
Go in space with a pencil because it's made of graphite. Your graphite does the computer systems in space, it fries them. You can't go into space with a pencil. It's story.
Greg, get out of here, Greg. Let Marcus finish. Let Marcus finish right now.
Anyway, I was trying to make the link, you know, like DeFi is like a space pen, you know, they're like overly engineered, they're like making a simple problem way too much complex. And it's just creating more, you know, the more parts you add to a system, the more parts can break, the easier something will fail, you know, Murphy's Law, things will break. So to me, that's the beauty about Bitcoin. It's just so in its simplicity, it's nobody can stop it. We don't need massive marketing teams, you know, like calling for more budget, telling them that this is really a great solution for the problem. It's anyway, I don't know how I got to stop it. Thanks, Greg. That was your that was your inspiration. I'll pass it on from here.
This is a segment inside Ben's mind right now. He's thinking like, you know what? This is going very good. Like there are memers, but like we're having great talk. And then like, boom.
Space pens. Fucked by the space pens.
and the Russians.
Russian propaganda and space pens. Oh man, really fell off the rails.
Oh my god, the chat is cracking me up right now.
The chat is lit right now.
Well, since the chat is just fucking
what's the price right
now? I couldn't tell you. I don't want to be distracted from the show, you guys. So the live show, I cannot be distracted. There's too much going on. So I'm gonna pass it to Marcus. Since you were just chatting, it is now your turn to enlighten us. What has you feeling bullish this week?
Don't say
what has no
space pens. Was it space pens?
No Russians. As I mentioned, I'm here on a holiday, right? And wherever I go, I'm always asking people, do you know about Bitcoin? What do you think about Bitcoin? I'm constantly kind of logging for myself where we are because I'm kind of late to the party. I started like late 2017. I didn't know what I was buying, a shitcoin. And it was only like somewhere early 2019 that I really went all in. I started getting it. I started going on Twitter and I started ended up memeing and stuff. But I always felt like, holy shit, you know, I'm like way late to this party. And the longer I'm in it and looking at everything, I keep realizing how amazingly early we still are. And I thought I was late, but we're still freaking early from like polls that are saying that we're still only about 6% of people even owning any crypto, let alone Bitcoin. It's probably even lower than that. But things have changed though. So one of the things that got me really bullish is like here on the island, I have some cousins and some family and I was talking to them and I thought, you know, you're so used to like the arguments back in 2017, you know, okay, but what if Satoshi has all these coins and cannot Bitcoin be hacked and bad energy? I'm not really getting those kind of arguments or questions anymore. It's just all about, okay, where can I buy it? How can I buy it? How can I self-custody it? And then when I look on an island here like St. Martin, people actually want to get into it. They get it. They've heard about it. They know it, but they can't get it. So St. Martin is a really tiny island in the Caribbean. And when you try to sign up here, I've seen it, like my parents as well, the local bank is just like blacklisted or something. All kind of red flags go off by the exchanges. You're not allowed to deal with these countries. So they want to buy, but it's made, you know, it's already not very easy for people to get Bitcoin and how to custody it and stuff. And I always point them out to your videos, Ben, to show them how it's done. But, you know, people want to get in, people can't get in. So, and at the same time, when I look at the Netherlands, you know, we've got like the Financial Times of the Netherlands, they're still writing stuff with the same arguments of 2014. It's tulip mania, it's a bubble. I can't believe they're still getting away with this in 2021. So also there, people are still like just ignoring it. So at some point, the knowledge gap will be closed, and it just shows how early we are. And when I think that we're sitting at a price at this level already, I can only imagine where we're headed off to. That's why I'm bullish.
I like that. It is easy to kind of get so tied up in everything and being, you know, balls deep in Bitcoin, and you feel like it's not early anymore until you actually gauge what's really going on. And even like this, some of the generous numbers that say X number of people own Bitcoin, like they own Bitcoin in like, well, they have like $5 on Cash App or Robinhood, right, or something, right? Like they're not, yeah, actually exposed and understanding what this is. And yeah, it is so fantastically early. And it's interesting to me that it's the polar opposite ends of the spectrum that are really getting it. At first it was mostly like people that needed to utilize money in a way where they weren't allowed and they couldn't. So you're in a jurisdiction where you just can't move your capital and you're stuck, or you're in hyperinflation, or you're somewhere at the bottom of the ladder where you're so fucked that this is like your only option. But now it's starting to be people at the other polar opposite end of the spectrum where they're like, they need their responsibility is to preserve capital. And they're looking at the global macro landscape being like, holy shit, I cannot hold dollars. They literally just printed like 30% of all existing dollars. I can't hold bonds because I have a real loss because of the inflation that's going on, and asset inflation is happening. The stock market is way overvalued. It's like 10 times earnings for a lot of these fucking companies. What am I going to hold? And they're looking and being like, oh, this is built to do the exact thing that I'm trying to hedge against. Maybe I'll put a small allocation here. Or if you're, you know, Michael Saylor, then you all of your money forever and everybody else's money too. But you know, like you get people that are at the ends of the spectrum that are getting, you get people in El Salvador that are like, oh, holy shit, I can actually just like move money on the Lightning Network instantly and not get raked for it. And then you get people being like, there's literally nowhere else to put money in and preserve capital. And I think we see it gradually come together, but like right now we're just getting such a tiny percentage of people on the ends of the spectrum, just tiny. and then like a peppering of people in between. But yeah, like it's so early. Like
change happens at the margins. That's what you're describing.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. Like, do you guys have the same feelings? Have you had the same?
So if I can jump in that thinking, like we can totally see that from Willis Wu's data that the so-called shrimps are rising and rising and rising in numbers. The so-called holders of smaller amounts of Bitcoin are like more and more in the scene, and like basically older whales are like distributing those coins to those streams, and that's very, very bullish because it amplifies the decentralization aspect of it too, right? So together with more and more Lightning Network implementations that we're seeing in the scene, like for me, that those two are like the most bullish things that are happening right now.
Yeah. I totally agree. I did listen to the Willy Woo thing recently. I think he was talking with Pedro but he was detailing the kind of flows of capital and people, like the whales, I think at one point held like 60% of the monetary base of Bitcoin, and that has dropped now to like 20-something%. Meanwhile, the shrimps, like the smaller, I can't remember the numbers. I think it was like people who have like less than one Bitcoin and then 1 to 10 Bitcoin. The people that are holding that amount have grown to be about half the size of the whales. So they're actually taking up a much larger piece of the pie. So, you know, that, and there goes another FUD piece, right? Because the original FUD, well, it's so centralized, like a few people hold Bitcoin. Yeah, but just because you were fucking lucky, or, you know, you bought a bunch of shit on the Silk Road back in the day and didn't know what you were buying, and that you're sitting on a ton of Bitcoin, or if you did have the presence of mind and you kind of thought that this might be a good idea and you stuck with it, you still, like, in order to enjoy the gains that you've made, people will gradually spend depending on where they got in, and they'll do things to improve their lives. They'll hopefully make good decisions that actually do materially improve their lives instead of buying trinkety bullshit. But it is gradually being kind of redistributed without the need for a central government to do so. It's gradually, like, the monetary base is making its way out to the regular plebs that have just been stacking sats. And I think it's a beautiful
savings.
Thing.
So concluding, Ben, that thinking, imagine one point of that, like the shrimps, like filling up the 50% of the holders of the Bitcoin, right? And imagine the other point, the whales that won't get in. Like, how much they're gonna overpay in the end, as long as they're waiting and they're not entering the space, how much are they gonna overpay to gain those coins, right? So, bullish.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really awesome to see. And again, to Marcus's point, it is super early, and we're just starting to kind of see that distribution, and people that maybe didn't get it are making those mistakes, and those coins are flowing to people that do get it. And we'll continue to see that. But again, people got to live. People got to, you know, have a good time. People got to go to Greece with their family. So you're welcome. Anyways, I don't know. Sean, Greg, any further thoughts?
Yeah, just, it does seem like we're at a time, like what Marcus said, where before people would just have no idea what Bitcoin was, or they thought it was a scam or Ponzi, and there's still people who think that, but we're almost like in the middle of that time where it's like, it's making this shift from this, you know, this nerd currency, this random thing that people use on the internet that no one knows what it is, to all of a sudden all these billionaires are going to be like, you got to have Bitcoin. We all have it. All the millionaires are aping in. And so it's going to be this thing that was shunned on in the financial world to something that is like, if you don't have Bitcoin in your portfolio, you know, are you even analyzing the market correctly? And I think that's like, as Bitcoiners, obviously we've been there for a while, but I think that's where even in the mainstream, it's going to get to that point pretty soon too.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think it's just a matter of time. It's going to be a bit of a stumbling block for some people, because again, it's going to be polar opposites ends of the spectrum that will get it first. But you know, some people will see all these ultra wealthy people getting it and having bought in before they did, as like a middle class kind of somewhere mid range. And some will see that as, oh, the elites got in again. And, you know, yeah, there's going to be some of that. But what they don't get is that it no longer gives them an unfair advantage just because they currently have some Bitcoin. It doesn't guarantee them more Bitcoin. If they want more Bitcoin, then they're going to have to offer goods or services that convince people to part with their sats because what they're offering is so great. And that's something that the current system doesn't have.
It's a nothing burger argument. I mean, fuck them. Who cares? Right. So we've got fuck you money. It's got a 21 million hard cap. Can't do anything with it. Why are you going to complain about people getting in early? All right. Just get in, get out of the system that's fucking you in front of your face and come to the system where you can save your time value of money and not have it screwed with. And then over time, as the productivity of the planet increases, the value of the money in your back pocket increases. You get more purchasing power. Finally, we have money. We have money that maps to what our technology is doing already. It's deflationary technology. Everything should be getting cheaper, right? And in that same sense, where everything should be getting cheaper because technology is making everything easier to produce and easier to consume and easier to attain, right? Your money is taking all of that productivity and shrinking it into that smaller and smaller informational pie. So all that money in your pocket is worth more and more and more purchasing power. Just get out. Who cares? Who cares about the elites? I don't. I'm just sitting here stacking. I thought way too hard about this shit. Way too hard about this shit for years. I was so concerned that I was going to work until I died, right? And I studied Warren Buffett. I studied Ray Dalio. I studied all these guys who are basically just inheritors of the Cantillon effect, and they're celebrated as these great investors. And it's bullshit. It's just complete bullshit. So I went from, you know, the bell curve that I fucking love, where on the one side you've got the smart guy, the other side you got the real dumb guy, and in the middle you got the crying guy. You know, I went from the far right side of the curve where I was studying all the time to try to figure out how to like escape the rat race. And now I'm just on the far left side of the curve celebrating my dumbness, going, just stack sats and forget about them, right? Because they will take care of themselves.
Yeah, and it's like all this FUD.
Join us in Greece.
I love that you did that. Also, I gotta say that some of the fucking memes that came out of this picture were fantastic. Somebody like put Peter Schiff literally like
doing jets, water skiing like, behind
water, him. Yeah, water skiing behind the boat, and then somebody like, I think it was Kit, she photoshopped in like a cold card, like zoomed in, like it flying into the water. Yeah, so yeah, solid ones. Anyways, Sean, I interrupted you. Go ahead, man.
No, I was just saying, yeah, like what Greg was on. You know, there's so many people out there that they just complain and they're being soft. And instead of FUDing Bitcoin and being soft about it, just figure it out. You know, that's all you got to do. Put in the work, put in the time, exactly. And you know, I don't want to work my whole life to make money, right? Like I want to work to be productive, and it's not about making money. And I think a lot of people get it confused when we tell them, oh yeah, 200% per year, you know, annual gains. And then they just come and they think like it's all about the money, or they think that like we're wrapped up in this getting more money type of thing. And it's not about that. It's about getting to a point where no one can steal your money, no one can steal your time. And then you don't have to work your whole life just to pay your bills. It's like, what kind of life is that when you just work just to pay your bills? Like you want to be able to enjoy your wealth and enjoy your time and then work to be productive and to accomplish things, to do something in the world, to make it a better place, not so you can just make money.
Yeah, I echo that sentiment. I mean, yeah, everybody watching, you heard it here first. You're fucking early. Stack some sats. Stop thinking so hard. It's fine. You're ahead of most of the world if you're already currently stacking sats and you've already got some Bitcoin to your name. So capitalize on it, because it's not going to be that way forever. Things are moving fast, and you know, a decade out you'll be looking back being like, oh my god, like every penny I had could have been sats. It could have been multiple. A single penny could have been multiple sats at one point, and you'll look back and think, that's insane. How was that ever a thing? So stack them now. And
you ever
go ahead.
You ever see that time lapse of how many sats per dollar you can get? It's just like a dot matrix thing. It just like it shrinks so fast. And to like to right now, it's like close to what 2,000 sats per dollar right now. And you just it was like so many. It just it crunches down so fast.
It's like those. You ever have those dreams? Those dreams where you finally like get your hands on something you really wanted, and then you wake up mid dream and it like disintegrates in your hand, and you're like, no, I had it. Shit. This is what stacking sats is right now. So grab it while you can, guys. I'm gonna keep it rolling here. I love that topic. We're gonna toss it to Sean now, dude. What has you feeling bullish this week? Take it away.
Yeah, I'm bullish on Bitcoin being freedom money, and especially with everything that's going on right now, and with the COVID, the lockdowns, and everything else, and these regulations that we're getting from the government on Bitcoin, and I really am so bullish, and I've been bullish for a while on how it just gives freedom to the individual, to me as a person, to anyone who buys in and begins to learn the beauty of Bitcoin. And I think it's amazing because it really does separate money from state. And, we hear that all the time, like, how does it separate the money from state? And, the biggest thing is that every government that anyone is born into is using a money that's issued by their government or by another governing body. And every single money that's used in the world, there's not one, except for El Salvador now, who's on the Bitcoin standard, that isn't fiat and that isn't manipulated at the base layer. And I think that's what is so empowering about Bitcoin, is that it can't be manipulated at the base layer. And it's a way to opt out of government control. It's a way to opt out of someone telling you what you have to do or what's the best thing for you, or someone stealing from you in a hidden way. And I think that's, one of the fastest ways to lose freedom is to rely on someone else or to rely on your government to do what you should do for you. And I think that's one of the hiccups for some people getting into Bitcoin, is that they do want to rely on their government, or they do want to rely on other people, and they want to be able to have that thing to blame other people if they don't succeed. And so I think it's really cool to be able to take that personal accountability, holding your own keys, being responsible for the wealth that you've created, the wealth that you own, and then putting it into something that will expand your wealth and that will create, that will give you so much more time back in your life. So for me, Bitcoin is, I'm so bullish on it, just giving freedom and giving you optionality. If you want to use fiat, you can use fiat. You can hop in and out of the Bitcoin monetary network. You can use that asset. You can use the currency of Bitcoin. Or you can hop around in other currencies, through the Lightning Network and other things. So to me, it just gives so much freedom. And, freedom is something that's always been something that I've thought about, even since I was a little kid. And so seeing Bitcoin, it kind of opened my eyes to what money really should be.
I love that. It's funny because it's, personal responsibility is scary, and a lot of people have trouble making leaps in any aspect of that initially, and some never do take those personal responsibilities. They just kind of defer responsibility to other people in various aspects of life. But I found that every time I've been scared to make a move that would make me more responsible for my own future, though scary as hell, the outcome has always been resoundingly better than what I was previously experiencing. And I've continuously been kind of moving down that path. There's always more that you can do, but I've got to say that this is a big part of Bitcoin. It's that personal financial responsibility, taking responsibility for your own future in a through your money, through your choice of money and how you use that money, and the externalities of that, of actually operating on a sound money and having that contribute to the incentives of what you spend your money on and your decisions in that respect. It's really is life-changing. So yeah, I love that I love that sentiment. I'm curious if anybody else has thoughts on that.
Sure, I can. Yeah. I can tell a personal story that resonates that sentiment, and I don't know if you, Ben, can see that now that you're in Greece, see a little bit the leftover effects that the economic crisis had in Greece, and the stores, how many stores are still closed after 10 more years. I bet, like, in September, we're going to have that meeting, and you're going to see it more in Athens, downtown Athens, how still, even if we're way better the last years, but there's still those effects can be clearly seen. And yeah, like taking responsibility, trying, having the freedom to join this separate monetary system that it's called Bitcoin, and just stacking, man, just stacking every week, every month with whatever you have. It's not that complicated, and it really, really will change your life, and it has changed mine. I entered the market, of the job market, right when the crisis started. So I didn't have much purchasing power, and I even like bought with two fucking euros. Like there's no point to like overthink it. Like DCA, and in the end, like it's gonna pay like it's gonna be beneficial for you, for sure. So
yeah, and I have noticed. So I was in Greece last in 2012 with my wife, and actually while we were here, I believe they're not on the specific days, but in and around that time, there were, you know, the riots and people I think within Athens
I was one of those kids throwing molotovs, so
yeah. Yeah. And literally it's funny because we heard about it before we came here, and they were like, yeah, just, you know, don't go down to like the government buildings. And that was about it. So like, we didn't really like physically see any of the stuff. And I wasn't, you know, obviously it was 2012, was pretty early. I wasn't into Bitcoin yet. I was too young to have really appreciated what had happened with the financial crisis in 2008. So I was kind of, like, I just heard little things here and there, so I didn't fully appreciate what was going on, but I came to appreciate it later. And seeing, you know, the Greek banking crisis a few years after that, you know, from afar, it was interesting to see kind of the changes. And so, yeah, it's, you know, I haven't been, we didn't spend much time in Athens when we first got here, but I'm curious to see what it's like when I get there the beginning of September. Yeah. How about Greg, Marcus, anything to, I mean, you don't necessarily have to comment on Greece, but freedom money, Sean's sentiments.
I was going to riff on the personal responsibility angle you were going after. Just, you know, you don't grow unless you step out of your comfort zone. And every time I've taken on more personal responsibility in my life, life's gotten better. You know, you grow as a person, period. Bitcoin has been one of the larger steps in my life, where I've taken on a giant chunk of responsibility, and self-custodying your Bitcoin, especially after you've been through a cycle or two, it's like, that's some serious responsibility. The other one be having children. I know you know that one. And they,
yeah, holy shit, I sure do.
For me, they kind of went hand in hand. So, you know, I have wallets set up for the kids whenever they do chores, whenever they do something nice or good, I pay them in, you know, pay them in sats, strike them to their wallets, and tell them they're not allowed to touch them until after they graduate high school.
kids are going to be rolling in it. What are their names?
Hopefully.
Gregina.
Yeah, we've got Greg 2, Greg 3, and Gregina.
Perfect. Awesome.
I'm a narcissist. It's fine.
Yeah.
Bitcoin changes lives, right? No matter what time you came into it. I mean, obviously, the people who started earlier, they're like plucking their fruits right now and sailing on boats in Greece and stuff.
Catamarans.
I remember it well. I said, I only started stacking hard like in 2019, and then, you know, I believe it was like it went up from like 8,000 to like 13,000, and then, you know, you had to wait a good while because it went all the way back down to 7 and 6 and back up to 10, and then we had the coronavirus dip, you know, and it's like, shit, wish I could, you know, if only. And you know, you're all in already and stuff, but you know, the conviction is there, and especially having that conviction for me, that really changed my outlook completely, because I had hope again, you know, like I was like, okay, I'm holding some Bitcoin here, and you know, I felt for sure this thing is going where I still believe it's going. I'm like, you know, I told my wife so many times, I was like, even if Bitcoin goes to zero right now, I'm going to be forever grateful for Bitcoin, because it completely changed my outlook. And I kind of felt like, like more independent, and I felt like more secure about my future. It made me think about what I really wanted to do with my life, instead of, you know, you're so stuck in the rat race every day. At least I was, you know, I was working 5 days a week. You know, and the weekends fly by with just chores and doing stuff with my son. And, you know, I couldn't complain about my job. I mean, it's a fine job, but I couldn't say it was my passion. And Bitcoin was really like, okay, you know, if this is where I'm going, I'm going to be able to stack, and I'm going to be able to change some stuff. And it really made me think about, like, what do you really want to do? And that process has been amazing, you know. And even though the price hadn't gone up yet, I already felt like the price did go up, because I was sure, so sure it would. And yeah, that kind of changes you. It makes you, it really changed my life. I won't go into too much details, but, and then actually seeing the price run up the way it did last year, that was incredible, of course. And it's got a lot more fun to come. So I'm looking forward to the future, man.
You're welcome.
It's awesome.
You're welcome.
Thanks for all the smash buys, Yellow.
Yeah.
The prophecy has been fulfilled, Yellow.
Yeah, no, I do love that. It's it changes your outlook for sure. And yeah, that freedom, that personal responsibility that comes with it, it really kind of changes your life trajectory, along with kids, to echo Greg there. It kind of came hand in hand with getting my shit together, having kids and getting into Bitcoin. Like, all of those just kind of coalesced. So glad that they all kind of worked out in the same time frame. But yeah, I love that topic, and we're just gonna keep steamrolling through. We've got one last. Now, Yellow, I know you kind of touched on some stuff that you wanted to in regards to why you're bullish, but if you want to go with one of those and just kind of flesh it out a little bit, or go whatever direction you want. But if you want to let us know what has you feeling bullish this week, we can all give it a good final riff here.
Well, before Craig started his space race or whatever that was, I was gonna say about I'm feeling bullish about the whole plethora of implications coming out, like Strike, Umbrella, Sphinx, Moon, and their growing adoption. And yeah, as I said before, the rise of, as we call them, plebs, stacking sats, as the Glassnode experts call them, shrimps, and the more and more share of the market they have in the ecosystem. So yeah, that's extremely bullish. And of course, there's also the prophecy.
Let's talk about the prophecy. Please tell us, what's the prophecy?
Believe in the prophecy, just start And I got you. Like, we're going to make everything good. Just, I pumped just alone, me, you know, the price from 29 when all the TA experts were calling for 25. I said, fuck it. I'll be back on Twitter. And we popped the price. And that's it. So, in all seriousness, that formula of... that forming of community around the plebs, right? The forming of community around the plebs and the memes and the interactions and the seed posting, that plays a part hugely in the sentiment and in the price and how that community is like formed. And that, and for me at the end, the whole thing is about people, meeting new people, exchanging ideas. That's the core for me. So for that, I'm extremely grateful. And
yellow, I'm gonna need to see that prophecy picture one more time.
Yeah, can you throw that up? That, oh man, I think you might be you might be the most prepared guest I've had. Like, you had full...
like, what are the goats?
Yeah,
definitely one of the goats.
Goat.
Is that like a Greek
Oh, shut up.
That's
Greek shawarma.
Just a reminder that yellow is the goat.
Prophecy
that where you make the pita gyros.
Yeah. I love that. So I'm gonna pick out something that you started on there that I'd like to echo, and that's the apps and everything that's coming down the pipeline. Holy shit, yeah. There's so much cool stuff. Like when I started doing tutorials, it was like, okay, let's hit some wallets and some hardware and stuff like that. But it was pretty limited what I could cover. And, you know, I was doing like one video a week and I was like, okay, I'll do this wallet, this, you know, this iPhone wallet, or I'll do how to do a paper wallet. Like, it was pretty limited. And now it's like, I've got a list of tutorials in like a backlog of shit to cover. And it's just, it never ends. And that's awesome. And I'm so happy. Like the ones you mentioned, like different Lightning apps and stuff that you can work on. Lightning is its own little rabbit hole. It's just insane. Yeah. Moon Wallet is fucking incredible. Like how they've unified the balance. And it just, it seamlessly kind of works. And then like, I don't know if you guys saw, but Umbral just dropped a new update where you have like a whole bunch of other, where you can like host your own files and stuff like that. So it goes even further beyond Bitcoin, just general decentralization tech. It's awesome. There's so much stuff. So I'm excited about that. I'm glad you brought it up. I'll let others jump in.
I geeked out on Umbral just because I could see my RAM usage and storage. The new app a little better.
There's also that Lightning kick thing that is Gigi posted. Like, I'm reading that right now, actually. That's actually exciting. And also LM Beats is also cool. I experimented a little bit with LM Beats like the previous week. It's also cool. Like, so many things, you're right.
I think it's ahead. Just cool because I'm not like someone that comes from a pretty tech savvy background, you know? So for me, like I remember I downloaded Wallet of Satoshi, you know, and when I would go out to eat with my buddies and say they would pay, then I would, instead of sending them money on Venmo, I would be like, hey, give me some Bitcoin. And I was like, just download this app real quick. They'd download it, they back it up in their email, and then I'd send them Bitcoin every time just using Lightning. So I think Lightning's cool because you, like, it's so much easier to make a payment, you know, it's so much faster. And for someone who doesn't understand a lot about like how a blockchain works, which is most people in the world, just seeing a just a payment easy. You know, it's like, oh, this is just another, it's another operating system, a way to make payments. And that's like what a lot of people, when they think of money, they don't go down the whole rabbit hole of what's money. They just think money is for payments. You know, either I get paid or I pay. And so I think like Lightning helps people connect that first dot, and it's which is so really much well, which more is really good
than just a payment.
Yeah. Yes. Way more.
Yeah. There's so much can be done. I love Yellow that you brought up the sign in with Lightning. That was so cool. I played with it just really quickly with Breeze. But awesome. Like the idea of having your login being just a Lightning QR code and it's anonymous. Fantastic idea.
Yeah, I wanna throw out a shout out to the Dutch Hornets. They have this clubhouse room called Bitcoin Nederland for the Dutch people out there. But they dragged me in there a couple of weeks ago, and just the other day, last Thursday, they were using this Telegram integration where there's this Lightning transaction bot in Telegram. And they use that to send sats to each other's Telegram handle. So you're already seeing like all these new developments.
Did you guys do the lottery on that thing? It has a lottery.
Yeah, they did the lottery on it. It is awesome, man. And people are just receiving sats, and there's so much fun applications that you can just see. I mean, I'm not even that creative, but you can just feel it's so early and all these developments are coming. I mean, Lightning is just super fast, super simple, super quick, you know, low fees. You can actually send like less than a cent in value to each other across the world. I also loved how Lightning, you know, is being used in El Salvador. And I had to laugh so much at those pupusa merchants, you know. You showed a picture before and then they showed this picture afterwards where they were like, oh, you just want to thank the Bitcoin community because somebody posted that Lightning QR code. And Lord knows how many Bitcoin they got from the Bitcoin community. Everybody is just like, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to send them some sats just to support them. It's amazing. It makes so much sense. You know, I mean, right now over here on St. Martin, I have a Euro account. I want to go to the ATM. I need cash. You know, they only allow you to take up a maximum of $400 and they charge me a $7.50 transaction fee to take out the cash. You know, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to take up some more money for the whole vacation. No, it's only a maximum of $400. So if you compare it to the old system, you know, it's just ridiculous. If the whole world is on sats, you know, it makes so much more sense. So look forward to it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sean, Greg, if you want to, any final thoughts on anything Yellow said to wrap it?
I want you to do a tutorial on podcasting with Breeze. Did you do that yet?
I haven't done that yet. I am podcasting with Breeze, and I did a bit of troubleshooting around that. I should do exactly what you just said. So
you should.
I will.
Because I need it. Because okay. We're going to do a thing.
We need to know why.
Greg, are we going to say why? Yeah, because this is going to be a Meme Factory podcast stream.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yes, I will do that because I need to see that happen.
I want Ben to do the hard work for me. I want Ben to do the hard work for me. That's all I'm saying.
Ben, tell me how to make a podcast, please.
Ben. I've leaned on you for like every step of my Bitcoin journey, like every freaking step. All right, what wallets has Ben into? All right. How am I going to make a node? Let's see what Ben's got in here. Yep, you and Bitcoin Q&A, my go-tos.
Yeah, he's fantastic. I've got there's so many good, like when I started there was kind of not a ton out there. Now there's so many good people putting out stuff like how to's. It's awesome. I love to see it.
Ben, what do you make of, I heard that Bitfinex is also now supporting sats on their exchange. Did you pick that up?
I love that. I love seeing sats the standard everywhere. I think that should be the default for every wallet now. I think that every wallet, I think in nature should default to not it, like having to activate a conversion to dollars if you choose, or like whatever your local currency is. That should be a setting that you turn on after the fact so that people get used to the idea that, no, this is Bitcoin. It's not like how many dollars worth of Bitcoin. It's how much Bitcoin do you have? And it should default to sats. as what people see immediately. So it's like, oh, I've got, you know, I got 10,000 sats. Cool. Awesome. That's what is that? And then they ask that question after the fact, instead of being like, oh, I got $100 worth of Bitcoin. Oh, that's only 0.0. Like that initial step should be, no, I have 10,000 of something. That's cool. That's awesome. Right. I'm glad. And then, you know, oh, and that's worth this much if I choose to go down that route.
And it's such a great way to show them how that amount of sats they have is closer and closer and closer to that amount of dollars as we progress, right? So it's the best marketing thing you can we can possibly make it happen.
I think that's going to be big. Like next, I feel like we still kind of have the cycle going on, like the 4-year cycle. I still think that's a thing, but I think that in time for that next cycle, I think we're going to see Lightning proliferate everywhere. So that it's just like a given that you should be able to use it. And if somebody doesn't have Lightning on an exchange or wherever you're getting your Bitcoin, you'll be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like if you see a legacy address right now, you're like, what? What are you doing? Are you kidding me?
Transacting sats on Lightning. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think sats, the standard, that gives us enough time to be ready for that bump.
Sorry, Adam, back.
Yeah, sorry. Bits. Bits. That's not bits. Adam. Bits are not happening. Stop trying to make bits a thing.
We love you, but I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah, stop trying to make bits happen, Adam. I'm sorry. Awesome, guys. I'm gonna round it out here. This has been a fantastic conversation. I'm so glad I got you guys all on at the same time. Let's go down the line really quick. Once again, let people know who you are and where they can find you. Drop those Twitter handles and whatever you need to do. Let's start with you, Greg. Who are you?
Greg.
Where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter, GregZads1. Find me on Instagram at GregZads1 because I'm super creative. And they can find our stuff at mfmerch.com or Meme Factory TM. Ah, crap. I'm going to mess that mess up.
That's okay. I'll purposely type it incorrectly in the description.
Perfect.
Marcus, how about you? Let people know where they can find you.
Yeah, Ben, thanks so much. It was awesome being on here. I mean, especially watching you since way, way before. So it's an honor to have been here. So thank you so much for the opportunity. And I'm Plan_Marcus on Twitter. That's it.
Awesome. Glad to have you, man. Sean, how about you? Let people know where they can find you.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Thanks for having us. It was awesome. Just Big Sean Harris on Twitter. If you want to reach out or message or just see some memes, and definitely hit up the Meme Factory TM. That's where we get a lot of our memes going from. Thanks again, Ben.
Yeah, no worries. And Yellow, take it away. If you want to plug, I don't know if you want to plug the meetup or not, but anyways, Yellow, let people know where they can find you.
Yeah, sure. I'm Twitter. I'm IC Offender regularly, but I'm now suspended, so they can find me on Twitter, IC Offender II, as in two, and in all other platforms like YouTube, Reddit, Instagram, I'm IC Offender, and you can occasionally find me at Citadel21 doing stuff, and for whoever is in Greece and in Athens, 6th of September, we're going to have a meetup with Ben. So any Greek Bitcoiners that are listening, please join. I'm going to be there too. And please don't talk to me.
Awesome. Perfect way to end it. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. Everybody, take a look in the show notes. All of their Twitter handles are there, and possibly even a misspelled URL to visit. So guys, thank you very much. And you're all welcome back anytime.
Thanks, Ben.
Bye.
Peace. Yeah.
Thanks, Ben.
Chat was lit.
thank you guys so much for watching and or listening if you're on the pod. As always, please do hit like, subscribe, and share. All of those things help so much, and they help get this content in front of more people. If you want to help out the show in another way, you can hit up the sponsors I previously mentioned down below: Leaden, BitBuy, BitRefill, Keystone, and Bill Foddle over at Privacy Pros. And if you really liked what you saw, you can always hit me up with a Bitcoin tip at my Strike page. That is strike.me/BTC sessions. When you get there, you can type in any amount you like. You hit the tip button, you will be greeted with a Lightning invoice, or if you click to the right, a regular Bitcoin QR code. Super easy, very simple to use. I do have a tutorial on Strike as well. Be sure to check it out. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for watching me, especially while I'm abroad in Greece. I will continue to be dropping videos while I'm here. Have a wonderful day or evening wherever you may be, and I'll see you guys next time for your daily session.
HODL the Bitcoin.